Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Can you imagine your city on fire for God? Can you imagine if all the churches worked together, the government worked together for the good of the people in the name of God? Would that not be awesome? Well, that's what just took place in New York. But we're going to do a little groundwork today where Louis Palau began to make a partnership, a three-year partnership with the city of New York and the surrounding cities. But first, let's take a little glimpse of what it's going to look like. Look at this. That's Toby Mack, if you didn't know that. This is so exciting to see how God begins to move in a city. Today's program, you're going to see what took place in New York, but we have to understand things don't just happen. It takes hard work. You got to begin what you think about as a gospel movement. What does it mean to begin to just move? Jesus said, go around and let your good deeds be seen amongst men so that they would be your light and your good deeds seen amongst men so that they would give praise to our Father in heaven. Being good and being kind to folks, I'm telling you, it just moves a heart. It will move a city, even like New York. But what is a gospel movement? Let's listen to Louis Palau's ministry.
What do we mean by a gospel movement? What is a gospel movement? Our sense of it is that when we talk about churches coming together to impact the city in a gospel movement, we think three things. One, a united effort that's holistic and sustainable. What do we mean by each of those pieces? United meaning the whole body of Christ working together. A city's not going to be impacted in a major way by the good news of Jesus Christ simply by individuals or individual churches working in silos. We find at the Palau Association, we've done festivals and as we've observed other cities, that a united body can make more of a difference. So united effort. Secondly, though, holistic, meaning the gospel in word and deed. Clear, unashamed gospel proclamation through very different means, but also living out our faith and loving and serving the community. So a united effort that is looking at living out the good news and sharing the good news, and then doing it over the long haul, a sustainable movement. And often you'll find various efforts that'll come and go quickly, or a strategy here, a strategy there. But when it's possible to get large numbers of churches together in a holistic way and for a 20-year time frame, for example, that's when we believe you could really see a gospel move.
One evangelist said, live like the Lord's coming back tonight, but work like he's not coming back for 100 years. It's time for us to get some long-term plans. As a matter of fact, we need to plan for 1,000 years. When you think about the millennial reign has yet to even take place, we as Christians, we should be building things in the context that need to last at least for 1,000 years. But think about this. They began a plan 3 years in advance, and they were going to produce this awesome unity with government, with the church, with the community, with volunteer organizations, and they impacted in a powerful way, as we'll see today, New York and the surrounding cities. But it began 3 years ago. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is 3 years ago as they began their plan.
New York's a place where energy surges and you feel it when you walk around these streets. There seems to be a sense of purposefulness that captures everybody within the city.
Over 220 different languages are spoken here on an everyday basis. That makes it one of the most diverse places on the entire globe. When you think about different nations, different tribes, tongues, like the Bible speaks about, this melting pot, it's the epicenter of it.
In a big city with 8 million people walking past you all the time in crowded subway cars. You would think this group can't possibly feel lonely, but yet we find everybody's feeling a sense of loneliness, a sense of isolation.
And I think what the church does better than any other group is that we bring people together to serve together, to live together, to love together, and to care about your neighbor.
We believe in New York City, we're at a day and an age, at a precipice, at a moment where we can speak to people in a way that they can understand, reaching their felt needs, reaching the places where they feel disenfranchised by society, letting them know that the church is here for them, not just what we're against, but what we're for. And what we're for is a God that is for them.
We're at a place now where there's a hunger emerging. There's a sense that the gospel is going forward. It's not just something being talked about. It's something people are trying to live out within their professions, within their careers, whether it's in the fashion industry, all the way to Wall Street, trying to think differently about what does it look like if the gospel were to show up in my public life.
This initiative is pretty strategic in New York City. The evangelical church seems to be growing in significant ways, and I've never seen so much Christian activity in New York City, but an organization to come in and try to help mobilize the nonprofit organizations as well as Christian churches is just pretty exciting.
And my fear is that we don't take advantage of this time. If we could do it on our own, we would have done it on our own.
It's like C.S. Lewis says, if you aim for heaven, you will obtain earth, but if you aim for earth, you will obtain neither. And I just feel like this is an organization and an effort we want to get behind to really see if we can aim for heaven and really impact the world in the process.
The unity isn't even up for debate. It's part of the is of what makes this city work and what makes the church have an incredible opportunity that could grow into something few of us could ever imagine.
I am so thankful for the Palau team coming to New York City and helping to be a catalyst for the City Serve movement. Sometimes it takes somebody from the outside to begin to speak into and say, hey, we did this already in another city. You could galvanize in your city, bring this together, and we can help shine a light on it.
My dream for New York is really to see the church unified in our love for New York City.
My hope for New York is that the Christians within the city would find one another, would start to meet, would start to connect and collaborate more.
It seems to be the time is now for us to really stand together in a unique way.
And I think the church should remember that God has not called any one of us to be an island, but that collectively we could make a splash that would have ripple effects, that would permeate throughout New York City and go from here to inspire leaders and church work all across the world, that if they began to look after and move toward what matters to God, they would see that God would show up in their city, God would shine a light on it, and it would be a moment for the gospel to be celebrated.
Imagine in your city the same thing that would be taking place. That was 3 years ago. We're going to show you when we get back from the break what took place in New York this week. And I want you to begin to get a vision. Ask God, say, God, how do you, with VFN TV, the VFN Kingdom business, that's what we're talking about, bringing all those seven mountains together, the seven mountains of culture with the church and education and family and business and arts and entertainment and media and government, all of us coming together to begin to do a God thing and bring such life to a city. I mean, just think about that. This is what it's all about.
This is so exciting because this is part of our vision for your city and for other cities to encourage you in what we're doing in VFN TV, the VFN Kingdom business, and just focusing on this. As a matter of fact, right now we have one of our partners that are working now on these beautiful seven mountain banners,
yes.
That we're just pumped about that. And each banner represents, potentially your mountain, your sphere of culture that you function in. And God's called us, to disciple nations. And so you have to go into these mountains, these spheres of culture, to be able to impact them. And in that mountain, whether it's business, education, government, whatever
family.
It is, entertainment, family, that in there is where you actually impact. So many people have been just stuck in a building, John.
Yes.
And you're seeing firsthand in New York what, Louis Palau was able to do over a three-year plan and partnering it with long-term impact, for the region there. It's just a beautiful thing. He's doing this all over the world, actually.
It's very encouraging because a lot of cities and pastors are kind of familiar with, you know, ministries coming in and having an event and then leaving the city.
Right.
And it's good. It lasted, maybe awakened some folks and, and people in practice for the kingdom. But to know that a gospel movement, especially in New York, that's beautiful because that's what we need, a sustainable effort of the gospel going forth and souls being saved, discipled, and launched into ministry serving our King. I mean, that's what it's all about.
This is so important because what we're about to show you, this is somebody who had a vision, somebody who began to implement that. You know, what is a gospel movement, which you've seen already, and then 3 years ago to begin to enact that plan. And today is the fruition of that vision and that three-year plan. You know, you got vision. Without it, you perish. We got to have a vision for our cities, a vision for our region, a vision. And God's given, you know, us a vision, and we see some beautiful things taking place and some great things. But let's see what just happened in New York a few hours ago. Take a look.
It says, I stand at your door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Right here in Times Square, he will come into your heart.
I'm so excited to stand here and tell you about the love of God and the transformation that he can bring. God loves you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. Forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he did it in a moment.
If you want to really live your life freely, successfully, joyfully, open your heart to Jesus Christ, because he binds the brokenhearted by coming to live within you. Thank you.
This begins with a vision. Having a vision. You know, what does God want us to do? He's called us to shine our lights, to make our light seen, even in the midst of gross darkness, to know that we are children of the light. And that he's come. The first thing he always said was, what can I do for you?
Right.
What can I do for you? And as we talked about in the links of kindness, you've got to begin to start being kind in the name of Jesus. Be kind to folks. We saw people just begin to just weep and cry because somebody, you know, helped them out with a few bits of their groceries at the cashier. Mm-hmm. Now imagine that these seven mountains partnering together, which you have to begin with the groundwork, but imagine the groundswell of just refocusing your community, your region back on the original intent God had for your city, for your nation. And it can happen. I mean, you're seeing it take place. You know, with VFN TV, that's what we've been focusing and working towards in the context of that. When you hear about civil Christianity, how to be a civil Christian in the civil land, that's what you start treating people well and you start functioning, realize you have responsibility, you know, in the nation to function in a place and a role in the that's community right. and not just kind of watch what's going on. But when we do that, we impact a whole culture. And this is what God has called us to do. And so, you know, one step that you can make, you know, begin to partner with VFN TV and say, you know, I want to be a part of such a movement of where this such unity is coming together of all these seven mountains of culture and the spheres of influence so that I can do something significant that's for right. God. And you can do that by just partnering. Go to VFNTV.com and partner, but also just sign the pledge. You know, go to civilchristianity.org and sign that pledge. It's so important for us to lay down the groundwork for, you know, okay, if we're going to walk together, right? You want to know what those other folks are going to do. What are they committing to? Well, you think about Dr. King. Dr. King had 10 commitments that you had to sign to be able to walk with him and participate with him. And it was very important. They're Christian commitments, really. And we have this kind of a variance of that, you know, for, you know, updated a little bit at civilchristianity.org. And it's those who say, you know what, I want to be able to walk in the light of the Lord, you know, abiding with God, being kind to folks, you know, uniting on what's most important, giving liberty for the variables out there, you know, and love and everything, give love. And you think about that. So many people are waiting for this one moment. And you can see evidence. You can say what you want to. You can look at all the different nations, all the different languages that are there in this part of America. Yeah. And they all overwhelmingly, in response over 3 years, said, this is what we want. This is what we want. We don't want religion.
No.
We want God.
And I believe this is that moment. And you watching right now on TV, you've been seeing all the things that have been happening, all the news, and you've been wondering, I need to play my part. I need to play my role. Mm-hmm. This is that moment. Yes. Partner. Contact us always, VFNTV.com, or you can, you know, go on our Facebook page, but we want to hear from you and be a part, because it's going to be beautiful what's going to get ready to unfold here in the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, one of our audience members, we're going to talk about some prophetic visions God's given me about this coming third great awakening and revival, and it's very exciting. It has to do with all the nations coming together, or many different nations coming together, and the glory and the power of God. It has to do with media. You know, media mountain is one of those mountains we focus on. And one thing you can think about, begin to think about seven spheres of culture. God has called us to make disciples of nations. So many people are focused on a tunnel vision, if you would, in regards to what God's called us to do. And, you know, songs are being sung like, take the whole world and give me Jesus. And, you know, Lucifer's kind of trying to take everybody up on that.
That's right.
And God's going, no, I want you to, I love the world so much that I gave my son for the world. Go tell them that I love them and I have a plan for their life. And he's into you. He's into what you do. And he's not just into you singing from a hymnal or some, you know, PowerPoint.
Put the light on the stand. Don't put the light on the floor.
Yeah, and
put
let it shine for everyone to see. And I'm telling you, it gets really exciting because you find out this is what you were designed for. This is what you were meant for. And go to civilchristianity.org and connect, sign the pledge, and partner today. And look out for the mountain meetings because it's going to be so exciting. You know, God speaks. He says in Job 33, the book of Job. Not Job, right?
Not
Job. And it's chapter 33. He says that he speaks to a man in his sleep. In his deep sleep, he speaks to a man. He talks about in Joel chapter 2 that he's going to pour out his spirit and he's going to speak to many men. Mm-hmm. I mean, God speaks to us. You know, this is how he chose to do one of the ways he talks to us. He talks to us by every way you could think imaginable, all of us. And in this dream, it was so exciting. It was so exciting. You think about, you know, what can you do about what God's about to do? One is that, you know, find out what he's doing and dive into it and give it all you got, because this is your season. This is not, you know, you may be reading history books about other people's seasons, but this is your season. And one is about media. You know, imagine being part of when God pours out his spirit in such a way that you would be there capturing that to send it out to all the world. Mm. Imagine that. And then in heaven, God would go, you told the world about what I did to that one man, what I did for that family, mm-hmm. the miracles that I did. When you think about it, you know, prophetically it says there'll be two witnesses in Israel and everybody will see it. Maybe that's going to be you on a camera, right?
Mm. Hey, that'd be awesome.
And so in this vision, so I want to challenge you in regards to the media part of our culture, this media mountain that, you know, we are taking applications now for interns, and there's a limited amount of positions available, you know, for interns to be able to work with us. And we will share the wisdom and walk through the process of helping you be empowered in media. And so you can find out more about that at VFNTV.com or calling 844-440-VFNTV. But know this, that what I'm seeing, this is the reason why, what I'm seeing is, I was in this dream, this vision, mm-hmm. night vision, and I was at church. I would believe it would be Church of His Presence, but I was with Pastor John Kilpatrick in this dream, and spiritual father to me. And he was the man that God chose to use for what we call the Brownsville Revival mm-hmm. that happened at 3100 West DeSoto Street in Pensacola, Florida. Just a sudden outpouring, just an outpouring that began on Father's Day of 1995, which, you know, John and I had a privilege to be a part of that. And
we went to the 20th year anniversary together. That was, yes, that was a moment.
20 years. That was totally something. And so imagine this. Imagine knowing in advance that was going to happen. Imagine knowing that, you know, we were kind of caught by surprise. You know, I was working in ministry there with Brother Pastor John Kilpatrick. And all of a sudden, just God, you know, moves. And you know, we've been praying and all this type of stuff. But the reality is, you know, God's sovereign and he does what he does when he does it. And so all of a sudden, we're moving in the catch-up mode in regards to, you know, some different things. And imagine this. And that, you know, people have been trained in media. You know, Pastor John Kilpatrick has seen this move of God from the beginning of him coming to the city of Pensacola. So it wasn't new to him, but most everybody else it was. And so imagine now beginning to see this. So in this dream, this is now. Now, this is not 20 years ago. This is now. God's just showing me this. And he and I are walking through this gathering, this humongous gathering of people. And there was like this holy, I don't know if you've ever been under the glory of God or you've been in the presence of God, but it's like being silent is not only okay, it's the thing to do. Mm. And we're walking and you could just see all the different nations that are there. And everybody was just, you know, we're all family Christians. We're global
Christians,
you know? And so all these nations are going to be coming to, I would assume it's Church of His Presence where Pastor John Kilpatrick mm-hmm. is pastoring and he's building as quick as he can to do what, you know, to prepare wow. what's going on. And we're just talking to the different nations and God is just moving in this great expectancy. And I was there for, you know, Father's Day in 1995 and it was beautiful. And I remember this right before that happened, I had a dream and I've never experienced the power of God like I did until the Brownsville Revival mm-hmm. began to happen and God did what he did. But prior to that, I had, fallen in my dream. I had a dream where I'd fallen under the power of God, and I was like pressed up against this corner in this, by the sound booth thing that was there at Brownsville. And God was there, and it was like this holy moment. And this is in a dream. And this dream was my first experience with that experience.
Right.
And I remember everybody else was just walking around. They had no idea that God was there. And, you know, just whatever, being common about the whole thing. And I remember in the dream going like, my goodness, what are y'all doing? You know, and I didn't have a grid for that. And then Father's Day 1995 happened, and we were kind of organized people, you know. And, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick's an excellent leader, and you know, he leads specifically. And this was a big deal. All of a sudden, it's kind of, you know, different things going on. But the power of God, when God began to show his presence, so that glory was in this dream that I just had, is just like that happening right here on the Gulf Coast at, he's located in Daphne, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And you think about Young Yi Cho's prophecy that it would begin in Pensacola, but then it would go 100 miles west.
Yes.
You know, and then that's right there in Daphne, Alabama. Yeah. But not only that, you know, that it would be like a shot going off, and it's almost like Jacksonville's like a trigger. It would go to Pensacola, to Mobile, and then all of a sudden to Texas.
Wow.
You know, I believe Houston. Is that exciting?
Very exciting.
Oh, my goodness. And so God is showing us, and believe it's, then you had, I don't know if we have Kaderi's moment on that, but he begins to talk about, he sends to us Apostle Kaderi from Nigeria,
Isaiah
Kaderi, and he saw the same thing in Nigeria. God showed him about this glory being poured out. And so in this, and this is what I saw in my dream, I saw people that if you were to go to their country that they're from, everybody would think they're, I would say famous, but very popular, and they would be given the best places, and they would be honored in their region. But you know where they were? They were actually on a camera. Mm. They were on a camera. It's Brother Kilpatrick, Pastor Kilpatrick, and I walked past, and we're talking, you know, different people, and it's going on that there was this camera, and it was a crane type camera, but it had a seat on it. So it was a bigger type crane camera. And the guy that was there was like from South America, I believe it was, but he's like some star in South America. And he was working that camera. And you know what his attitude was? His attitude was, I'm just so honored to be here, just to be a part of that. And this is this move of God that God is showing me is about all of us just working together. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about a denomination. It's about God. And it's about his family coming together. And it was so beautiful. Even people of high esteem were okay with serving in simple behind the camera. I guess the big deal would be, because a lot of people like to be in front of the camera. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, it's interesting because I think about, you know, many of the prophecies that say that no building can contain this move of God that's coming, and many of the stadiums are going to be filled.
Right.
Maybe it's going to be the players. Since no one's coming to watch them, they're going to get touched by God and get behind the camera, you know?
Right, right. And the thousands are going to be coming to the Lord. I mean, God has already shown this, that he's prepared their heart. It's not because somebody's going to preach a good message.
Yeah.
It's because God is preaching a message right now, shaking, let the earth be shaken.
That's right.
He's preparing men's heart. Well, this is what I personally believe the Lord is waiting on, and who am I? But I think he's waiting on us to prepare to make disciples of him and not ourselves, our organizations, and not part of our programs.
Yeah.
He wants us to introduce them to him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are used to preaching at people and saying, you know, join my church or whatever.
Be my disciple, not his disciple.
Right. But he wants his church back. I'm not talking about your building or anything. I'm talking about you. I mean, he loves us individually, and he's about to pour himself out in such a way you're not going to be able to contain it. So there's a couple things that have been said. You know, one is there's always the people who reject what God does, you know, and those are the people that begin to immediately, you know, speak against what it is. I don't know what it is. It's just some mindset. You know, I encourage myself by saying, you know, I actually encourage myself by saying, you know, God just didn't want the old wineskin and the new wineskin to be together, or the material would rip or something like that. That's how I encourage myself. And either way, you got to do what God said and honor what was while you're doing what God is doing. And then there's another people that are support what's going to go on. They want to be a part of it. They're willing to transition to it. And so you just got to begin to train yourself. And I always thought about, you know, character boot camp, because character is the You know, giftings can take us places that our character can't keep us. And integrity is the courage to meet the demands of reality. And you got to begin to focus yourself. And you can do that at the VFN Dream Center. I know that because we are focused on that. That it's time for us to just train ourselves as to what God has called us to do. And when you think about it, it's like special forces. I even think about Morningstar's University. Mm. They're called special forces. And that is a specific word that Brother Ken Summerall, who is now with the Lord, also a spiritual father to me, when he talked about who we were, he said the Lord gave him this word, and he says that you're like God's special forces. Yeah. And God has special forces everywhere. And that's just an exciting thing, especially when you find out what special forces are, when you think about Steve Kalaszewski with former Marines, and special forces and all that. And it's amazing. As a matter of fact, take a look at this now from Morningstar University.
Till the clouds unroll and you come down the line way. But the shadow still remains since your descent, your descent.
This is so exciting, and that special forces, and it's time. I want to encourage the young people that, you know, today is your day. I believe Azusa Street 2.0 is in the making now, and when you think about Azusa Street, what took place, 1906, was young people, you know, all ages, and but young people begin to be used by God in a powerful way. There's no such thing as like a baby Holy Spirit. You got the same Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of God living inside of you that somebody that's you know, big as me. I mean, right. Or the same size. You have the same size.
There you go.
Just because he's not as tall as me.
That's right.
It's the same Holy Spirit. Which is amazing.
I try to tell him that.
This is totally amazing. But you think about this. I think about the Great Awakening and what Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries was saying.
Powerful.
As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Think about what it would be like if you tuned in Sunday afternoon to watch an NFL game and the announcers come on and says, folks, we're sorry, but nobody showed up for this game today. We're going to have to cancel this broadcast because the players didn't even come. The people didn't come because they're all in revival meetings. So we're going to cover this revival meeting instead of the game today. That would be about essentially what happened in Wales. And you say, that'll never happen here. I believe it will happen here. I believe we're going to see a time when people are so caught up in God and what he's doing in America. I'm not saying they're going to cancel the NFL or whatever, but it could get to that. I believe many of our great stadiums that we think were built for football or other things were built for revival. The owners just didn't know.
This is so exciting. You know, this is some of the things that we're seeing. In one of the dreams, the prophetic dreams the Lord gave me, that we were actually in a stadium filled with people in that stadium just going after God. It was so powerful, so encouraging, and it's going to happen. Mm. I mean, God, these stadiums weren't just, they weren't built so people can transfer wealth, you know, from a large part of people, from Saints fans to the to the owners of the New Orleans Saints. No, the... It was, you know, they're going to be used for places of worship and crying out to God. I forget the name of, God TV, Dory, Corey,
Wendy Alec. Alec,
you know, her book called The Unknown Prophet, I think it is, talks very specifically about this as well. And how, you know, the church is going to be totally redefined, not as a new definition, really as the original definition, of, you know, just all everywhere you go in every community and neighborhood and just, you know, moving in such a powerful way. The when the move of God took place like in the 60s and the 70s, it was going on that you know, they called it the, I think the Latter Rain maybe, or the
Jesus movement,
the Jesus movement, that it began when people began to go to the, they had to leave the building and they had to go into their houses and they began to have prayer meetings in their houses.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have it in your building, but sometimes it's difficult if people in the building don't want to move God. So you start hanging out with people who said, you know, whatever it takes, you know, whatever we have to do, God. And they did. And this powerful. And it was interesting was because that was a time when you had, you know, back when Hillary Clinton was, in, you know, during all that 60s and stuff. And you had Gloria Steinem and assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And the president, John F. Kennedy.
The Woodstock, the sexual revolution, the hippie movement, and just communal living. And it just, imagine what it really looked like. People were attacking own Americans who were actually, you know, in universities today, were blowing up the Pentagon, I guess, or something. They're blowing up some sort of government building. And how hopeless did that look? But you know what? They began to pray and to believe God. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard any stories that I know of, like we're hearing today, about how God is showing us what's going to happen. But somebody got a vision for what God was going to do and began to pray. And then the people who were in communal living, and what was the one guy used?
Lonnie Frisbee. Yeah. Awesome.
it's just amazing. We just think of like, he was, Harry is, you know, he's what they would call a hippie.
A hippie.
I don't think that even applies today. But just,
that's normal today.
That's normal today. And I think it's cool that nobody's caught up in the way people are dressed or anything. But God just touched us, man, and he started touching, you know, lots of folks. What's the name of the church, that the organization?
It was Calvary. Calvary.
Yeah,
yes.
Calvary. And he began to just teach, and God used him powerfully. But a lot of people. And this move of God, that some of the things that we're hearing about and things that we're seeing, and others, like Rodney Hyber Brown was talking about, and it's not going to be Bob Jones, who's now with the Lord.
Yes.
It's not about, you know, some big shot. It's about everybody's going to have be a shot at it.
Well,
you know?
The Lighthouse Prophecy that Bob Jones shared with...
We shared it with a lot of people. We have it on the...
With Paul Keith Davis as well, about 700 ministers will be coming together. Mm-hmm. The Lord has his own cabinet, I think, to minister to 700,000 people.
Hundreds of thousands at the same time.
At the same time. It's going to be glorious. And Bob Jones prophesied about 1 billion souls coming into the kingdom.
Okay, now 1 billion souls would be 1/7 of the world's population.
That'd be awesome.
I think that, you know, we're going to need a bigger boat.
I think
There's something we're going to need to do. And I'm telling you, if you haven't yet begun to look at the Emmaus Road, if you haven't begun to think about, you know, I want my heart to begin to burn, you know, like maybe Greg and John and Rick Joyner and other ones are hearing God. God loves you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal his secrets to you. It's not to anybody in particular. There's no, God loves you. He says in Proverbs 1, if we would just respond to him, he would make his secrets known to us. So we just need to respond to what he's doing. Right now, maybe God is just touching you and you're thinking, I don't know. And the Lord says, you do know, because I just told you, just respond. This is what he says. Follow me. That's what the Lord says, follow me. What does that mean? It means obey him. As soon as he says, get thee up and go, just go. When he says, do this, do it. When he says, you know, become my disciple, become his disciple. What's a disciple? Somebody who knows his teachings and follows his teachings. It's not a legalistic type thing. It's you love him. He's the Lord of your life and you follow him. As a matter of fact, we have Emmaus Road. You need to be able to go to vfndreamcenter.org and look for the Emmaus Road, or go to multiplymovement.com and begin it even that way. But it's a time for us to begin to position ourselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And guess what? When you're actually following him as a disciple, everything he does, you're a part of it.
That's right.
Because you're with him. Think about the 12 disciples. They're walking with Jesus. They didn't have to think, you know, what do I need to do? It's like, just keep following him. And then when he gets to the Galilee, you're going to be there.
Right.
You know, right? Today, people are trying to figure out, what do I need to do? It's like, follow Jesus. If you follow him, you'll be there when he heals this young man and he raises this one from the dead. Oh, what do? Just stay with him. And when he gets to Lazarus in the cave, you're going to be there with Lazarus in the cave.
Very simple. We tend to complicate
just,
following the Lord.
It's just dawning on me. I think all you got to do is just follow Jesus, right?
That's it.
I'm gonna miss Mary and Martha when he talks to Mary and Martha. Just follow him. And when he gets to Mary and Martha's house, you're going to be there already.
Yeah.
By the way, sit at his feet. Don't be cooking in the kitchen. But just think about this. And so it's time for us to begin to be followers. Christian, by the way, the word Christian doesn't mean country. It doesn't mean a way. It
doesn't mean America.
It means Christ follower. And this is what Jesus said. Come follow me. Mm. How easy is that? He says, you know what? If you put your hands to the plow to follow me and you look back, he says, you're not even worthy. Following him is so important that even in the own law that said the man that needed to go back and bury his father, that was legally what he had to do. But God, Jesus trumped all that and he said, let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. He wants followers, people who desire to know his way and to follow him. Guess what? And everything he does as you're following him, you're going to be a part of it.
That's right.
That's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting because, hey, today's the day. You know, you've been looking and been thinking and like, how can I play a part in a role? This is that. Yes. So, you know, you don't have to wonder anymore. I know you want to pray with our audience.
Yes,
Let's
I do.
Let's just join together.
I definitely do. And if you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, go to meetmyfather.org. We shared our testimonies there and you can meet him too through his son, Jesus Christ. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you did in New York, what you've done through your body. And we thank you, Lord, in the different cities now that are watching this and getting encouraged going, there is something we can do. We got to quit hiding out in this religious mountain, and we got to go into all the world and be the light that you called us to be. I pray even now, Father God, that you would begin to put strategies and reveal vision, Father God, to your people. We thank you for this move of God that is coming, Lord God, to Church of His Presence and on the Gulf Coast, Lord, that's coming to Daphne and to Houston and all the things that you're doing, Father God. We thank you. We just say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.